Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Doug Ingersoll, the leading international executive with Pearson Certification and Cisco Press, who shares his deep insights into certification, social media, publishing technology, and much more. Doug, you have such a diverse background with many significant contributions. Thank you for sharing your experiences and deep insights with our audience.
Oh, it's my pleasure to join you today. I really look forward to our conversation.
Can you talk more about your education, training, work experiences, and roles?
Sure. My background is actually in marketing. It does not come from originally a technology background, and that marketing is both from consumer and business-to-business products. I also have a fairly international background as a youngster. I grew up around the world due to my parents' career, so I have kind of an interesting international background, which provides for me to have a little more of a global approach than many American business people might have. I really got my start in technology through sales and marketing of peripheral products. But as I said, I'm primarily a marketing professional who has been focusing mostly on technology-oriented products for the better part of my career.
So Pearson Publishing, aren't they the world's largest educational publisher?
We are. A lot of that, obviously, we're a number of different organizations. We're Financial Times, newspaper, Penguin Publishing, but also we have Pearson Education, which is a very large educational publisher both in the United States and around the world. The division that I'm with is the Pearson Technology Group, is specifically a more professional-oriented publishing arm that deals with primarily retail-oriented publishing towards a variety of technologies, of computer, internet, design, and a variety of other technologies.
So again, sort of looking into your career then, what were the biggest obstacles in your career and how did you overcome them?
You know, I think my most significant challenge has always been to take a very wide array of technologies, everything from, I've covered everything from open source to obviously networking technology, certification, and even graphic arts to a small degree, to take that entire wide variety of different technologies and get a deep enough solid grasp of each to be able to communicate our learning products, how they help a technologist in any of those given fields in a way that is meaningful and helpful to them to find the right learning product, but at the same time not having the time to become a in-depth technologist for each of those myself to be able to provide more deep in-depth explanations. So it's that the ability to take a wide breadth of technologies and learn them in enough depth to provide valuable marketing communication to all of the audiences that we deal with.
You know, over your career, if you sort of look back in terms of your experiences, what are some career lessons that you wish to pass on?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that I've learned, I think we all do, through our careers, but for me, most of my lessons have been based on the audiences I deal with. I find with technologists, specifically networking professionals, which is an area that I deal most significantly with, I've learned a few things. The first is to never underestimate that audience. Their hunger for knowledge, their ability to comprehend not just the technology itself, but the nature about our business and why we choose or choose not to publish to a specific topic is much more well thought out than I think anybody would ever expect. They really understand how to put themselves in my shoes when they really don't need to have to do that, but they do that very well. I think trusting the audience is important as well, trusting that they're as much a partner, even though they're a customer, they're your partner in wanting to drive better learning so that it's beneficial to them and so that it's beneficial for others. And a lot of the things I've dealt with when it comes to marketing and sales in my past, outside of the technology field, there's a certain competitiveness by customers with each other. In these audiences, I find that it's not a competitiveness. It's very much a support community where they want not only to succeed themselves but to help others to succeed, even when they're people that they really have no personal connection to. And the final two rules for me, those are the first two, really, for me, it's four big lessons I've learned. The other two are always follow what I call the Macy's on 34th Street rule, and that is, as with the old classic movie, if I don't have the right learning product for somebody, instead of trying to make a square peg fit into a round hole and sell them on something that I have that is close but not right, I'm much better served helping them find from a competitor a learning product that does fit their needs, because that's going to make them want to come back to me when they have future learning needs. And everybody in this field seems to have continually growing learning needs, and someday I'll have something that's right for them, and they'll trust me to come back and get that product from me because they were able to trust me and be directed to something that wasn't putting revenue on my bottom line. And then really the other one is always look for that new rule. Things change so quickly in technology and the marketing of those products and the sales of those products and the creation of those products. Always be looking for that new paradigm that you don't expect to be there, because it's always going to be there. And if you're able to get on that early wave of that new rule, you're going to win. You're going to succeed. And you're going to help people learn as they go forward.
You know, there's this whole idea of certification, and it's been around for a long time. And, you know, one of the early sort of providers was Novell, and Microsoft got into it and so on, and then Cisco and so on and so forth. But, you know, sometimes when I talk to IT professionals, they say, gee, we're not, you know, like they're not sure if certifications have the same value today, or, you know, is that market growing? I mean, what are your views on this? I mean, you have access to a lot of research. Is it a value to IT careers?
Absolutely, and I think it's improving, because a lot of the exam publishers like Cisco, like Microsoft, like CompTIA, like actually VMware, who's a very popular and growing area, they don't make their certifications easy. They're not. There used to be, as they called them, paper certifications, which took very little effort. Anybody could pass them. But they've made these harder, and that's a good thing. The reason why I think certifications are both important now and valued now and will become more so going forward is this. I've had many times at a convention where I talk to customers and they said, wow, you know, you really know your stuff. Let me explain a situation. And I have to stop them and explain to them, no, I'm not a networking professional. And I don't understand how to, you know, connect this router to this switch. That alone is proof that employers, who largely the people doing those employment decisions are people who don't have IT experience, for me to be able to convince a technologist that I have technology skills, even when I'm not trying, think how much harder it is for a human resource professional to ascertain which of the candidates truly knows what they need to know to do this job correctly. But if they've got a CCNA certification, if they've got an MCSE or a VCP from VMware, the HR professional can make a well-educated hiring decision that is best for their organization. And I think as the growth of IT certifications continues and the presence of those becomes more standardized in the human resources industry, I think we're going to see more and more companies that are savvier about making those IT certifications part of their hiring process, so that they know they're getting qualified people who know what they're doing because they've proven their skills, even if it's in just a computer testing environment.
So if you look at this, then what are the growth sectors for IT certification?
Well, I mentioned VMware. VMware is, you know, and virtualization as a whole is a very hot topic. It's the new area that any educational publisher is looking to find quality learning products to publish. The growth of that certification has been fairly stellar. It's really, really grown at a rapid pace. So for us, that is a high one. We continue to see very strong, solid growth for Cisco certifications, and we have very high hopes for the new A-plus certification at the lower level of the certification range that CompTIA just launched. We're really impressed with how it really validates that entry-level upgrading and repairing PC-type employee, that service technician employees, in a much more comprehensive and much more reliable fashion than we might have expected from, say, the previous edition of those exams. So those are kind of the, you know, you've got VMware, which is kind of the hot growth item. You've got Cisco and Microsoft and CompTIA that are all continuing to grow at more relaxed paces. Beyond that, there's a lot of international certifications, things that have some outside the U.S. appeal that we're kind of keeping an eye on. They haven't necessarily caught fire in the United States, but things like driver's license, certified ethical hacker, and both domestically and internationally, CISSP in the security space continues to be a very reliable growth vehicle for certification.
Can you describe the evolving use of technology in the publishing industry? You know, that's your sort of your home ground. So
yeah, it's really exploding for us, and it's a very exciting time to be in learning publishing, because for decades, if not almost centuries, it's been how can I translate the knowledge of this human being into a book and have it be a meaningful learning experience for the purchaser of the book. We are now seeing a true revolution, not to overuse a cliche, but for us it is a true revolution of learning products. The only thing we've seen significant and really the last 20, 30 years has been the addition of maybe a CD-ROM test engine or a CD-ROM with some visual examples or some Excel spreadsheets, but now it's turning into real excitement. iPhone applications are very hot. Frankly, the biggest problem, and I know they're hot in general, but in specific learning needs, we can't get them done quickly enough, and they range everything from the fairly expected iPhone app ebook to flashcard engines, test engines, and really true learning platforms on the iPhone app. And with that, obviously, Android apps and all the other ones. We're also seeing more interactive online learning. So as an example, for the educational space, the academic space, we've leveraged our larger sister companies at Pearson to offer with the A-plus exams that have just come out something called the MyIT Certification Labs. This is a product that that's strictly online. It connects instructors and their students when they're not in the classroom together. It provides learning materials online. It also provides assessment, grading, and communication vehicles. So it provides an instructor a greater insight into each individual student's areas of strength and weakness through assessment. It provides those students some self-remediation that is focused towards their needs based on the products that we've created. And it also allows for more interactive learning, things like videos, things like flash-based animation that previously, even if you put them in a CD-ROM in the back of a book, required a jump step between the book and the CD, the book and the CD. These are now integrated into the flow of learning. So through the use of online vehicles, through the use of things like iPhone applications that allow more pedestrian access to the knowledge, we're seeing a lot of growth. The final element that's really big for us, and this is very specific to the Cisco space, is, you know, we've developed a fairly advanced networking simulator, and I think that's going to be a big growth area as demand grows forward, is the ability to simulate a workplace environment to learn so that you're not endangering your own organization's systems, but you're still learning in what is as close to real as possible environments. We've had Windows-based simulators that apply to A-plus learning. We obviously now have a CCNA network simulator that's very popular that's specifically for that. And we're looking at growing that line as technology allows us to and the market demand allows us to as well.
So what is the role of social media marketing?
Social media marketing has become probably one of our most important legs of the marketing table in just the last 24 months. We have found one of the difficulties of traditional book publishers is we don't necessarily have a dialogue with our consumers. They typically buy from a third party like an Amazon or a physical or a bookstore like a W.H. Smith's or a Barnes & Noble. And we don't gain information of, Susan Smith in Nebraska purchased this book, or Bob Thompson in Arizona or Brussels purchased that book. We don't have that line of communication. The social media environment has allowed us through Facebook, through MySpace, through LinkedIn, through Twitter, has allowed us to start a dialogue with those people. And it's not in the hopes of co-opting that retailer partner, it's meant to support it so that we can find out more valuable information of, you know, where has our publishing fallen short of true market needs? Where have we excelled so that we can try to repeat that in other markets? And just in general, that kind of dialogue, it's going to help us in both creating greater products. It helps us in sourcing more quality authors and reviewers. And it just helps get the word out. I think one of the greatest difficulties, traditional marketing of products, as most people are accustomed to, is putting a television commercial or a print ad in a magazine, and those are traditionally somewhat cost prohibitive for us. And we've all seen print media in some areas, like certain magazines, you know, they've kind of declined. So this is our way of reaching and sending a rich message about our products to people in a way that helps them understand whether the product is right or wrong for them and makes them aware of the product in the first place, which has been a challenge. So we're extremely high on social media marketing. We find that it is without question more than just the new place to put up a billboard and hope to catch attention. It is redefining our ability to build that dialogue and that community in ways that we've always struggled with in the past and probably never really succeeded in until now. Not to this level, certainly.
You know, you have a graduate degree. I mean, you know, what's the value of that degree and how are you using it?
You know, I think I'm certainly proud of having accomplished a master's degree, but I have to say that that there are too many people out there with MBAs who are woefully less capable than people who have far lesser education. So I try not to overvalue what it has taught me. To me, the master's degree was a foundational building block of learning in marketing technique and strategy. Not marketing technique, but strictly marketing strategy, upon which things like social media that didn't exist in 1990 when I graduated with my MBA, they didn't exist then. I think it's that foundational building block of ability to understand, appraise, and select the right marketing strategies that's valuable. But I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. I've met many an MBA in my lifetime who I wouldn't hire for all the money in the world. And hopefully not too many of the people who meet me think the same thing. But I would say that, you know, it's that ability to deconstruct a marketing opportunity and determine its value for my specific uses that is that real value of the learning that I was able to acquire.
You know, Doug, you've had this incredible level of success with Pearson, and you know, you're highly respected and internationally known. So over the years, you've gained some leadership lessons. Can you share some of those with the audience?
Well, the first one is to hire somebody like you to write my press releases, because, you know, I don't think I have a bigger proponent out there than you saying such kind words. I appreciate that. Now, I think with regards to the leadership lessons, most of mine have been learned through failure, and that that failure is despite... the first one has to do with, and this is primarily for American, U.S.-based... professionals of all kinds, I think we continue to underestimate the global market. I grew up outside the United States, and I still do it on a daily basis. I think we underestimate the value of the global market, the ability, the need for the nuanced changes to the marketing and communication strategies for those countries, and how it is not as hard to do as we think. But we have to actually try to do it properly, and that's one of the biggest ones. And I call it a leadership lesson because while the people who do the marketing in these other countries don't report to me as employees, they do look to me for leadership because I'm the area expert with specific topics, and they're looking to me for leadership there, just as I look to them for guidance and how to better serve those international markets. You know, the other lesson is that flip side to it, and that is I'm constantly challenged to allow others to lead me who don't sign my paycheck, so to speak, and that is people like our rep in Europe, Anshu King, who I need. It's not often enough that I consciously let her lead me with what's the best strategy in her part of the world, and every time that I do, I'm rewarded with tremendous success because I've trusted her knowledge, and she, of course, is every single time been 100% right. And it's allowing myself to be led by others and know that their expertise has to be brought into the fold for a successful strategy.
So, in your role then, what do you hope to achieve?
Well, this has been, despite the downturn in the economy, this has actually been a fairly successful year for us. We're flat versus last year. And, my goal is in 2010 to grow our certification list. We have a new challenge before us internally. We have a new product line imprint that we're launching. And to me, that is the thing that I'm going to be using that's what I'm going to be using as my metric for success. And that is, how can we, use this new vehicle that we're creating to grow our business, to better serve the consumers, to better distribute learning to people who need it. The imprint I'm referring to, we're starting a new imprint, Pearson IT Certification, that is taking advantage and leveraging a lot of what we've learned about social media marketing. It's taking a lot of what we've learned about best-in-breed learning formats from Cisco Press, from ExamCram, from Q Certification, from Pearson Higher Education imprints, both electronic learning, print learning, video learning, application-based learning, and we're melding them into one cohesive place where people searching for IT certification success can go and not just say, oh, what's the one or two books that are available to me, but see a much more rich, diverse family of learning products to help them succeed. And my challenge, and what I hope to achieve, is to build the knowledge of that imprint at a extremely rapid rate, not strictly for the business reasons that people may expect, but because I want people to find this great learning and succeed. And when they do, of course, then I'm fortunate that I get to succeed as well. And I'm confident that we are going to be redesigning the landscape of IT certification learning with this product line. And we hope, once it's anchored and successful, that we can grow it beyond people who are strictly focused on certifications but just want standard IT learning falling outside of a certification pursuit.
It sounds like this certification system that you're building, so almost like an ecosystem, would be a great vehicle to partner with other organizations, some of the IT organizations out there. Is that part of your strategy?
It is initially for us at a very traditional old school level, and by that I mean we are going to be looking for those publishing, those exam publishers, to seek them out as full-time partners to become, whether it's as authorized presses or simply as collaborators for technology or collaborators for content, we will be doing that. Our bigger long-term goal, and as you may or may not know, our organization is a co-owner of the Safari Books Online Library, which is a tremendous educational online vehicle for IT professionals. Our goal is to move it beyond just those partnerships to partnerships with the groups and organizations that represent the learners, whether they be businesses or organizations like yours, to help them not just, hey, here's a discount code, or hey, here is a really neat product you might be interested in, but to help those organizations succeed with their members by using the learning that we've created to accomplish a goal that is valuable to that organization. And of course, again, as that whole Macy's on 34th Street approach, once we assist you in doing that, you've assisted us because you've helped us showcase what our products can do for your audience, and we gain customers that way. And we're in business. We need to have people come through the doors to pay the bills. And so I think that there's never a marketing opportunity for these kinds of products and these kinds of services where it can't always be a win-win-win situation for everybody involved, because it's about learning, and learning and knowledge don't have to be strictly competitive business competition between consumers and producers.
You know, you've already mentioned this already. I think you talked about Q and Safari Books Online and so on. So what are the best resources for IT professionals?
Well, I think I find Safari, I remember when it was in its very nascent stages and was, they barely had 1,000 books, and now they're, I know they're over 8,000, but I think Safari is an extremely valuable product. For those who don't know, listening to the podcast, this is a product whereby an IT professional can type in their question, and it literally searches the full body copy of every single book in that library and helps make an educated decision as to, directing you towards where you're going to find the right answer. I think that is the single best resource anywhere. And I'm talking about a product that has a lot of my competitors' books in there. But again, it's about the consumer finding the information they need, end of story, and that's where they're going to find it. I think that's probably the single best resource out there. Beyond that, I think there's two big things. Obviously, the self-serving interest in that is I still think there are a great many of fantastic learning products, books, videos, applications, online services that are being published that are helpful. And I really think that there's still the key role in most IT professionals' learning success. But I also think that we're finding more and more educational institutions and proprietary educators who are increasing their IT learning. And that's always valuable when you've got a human mentor in a classroom who can help guide you through the difficulties, the quagmires of a specific curricula. I think those are the three biggest resources. You've got that immediacy and that intelligent search capabilities of the Safari. You've got tremendous foundational learning and self-study vehicles through the traditional publishing environment that is anything but traditional now through its innovation through technology. And I think that educational, academic, world that has, it grows and grows and grows its commitment to this specific market segment.
You know, Pearson's pretty big, and a lot of people don't realize all the imprints that are affiliated with Pearson. Can you name some of the other brands that are...
I work here, and every other day I find a new one I didn't know about. Obviously there's a ton of them. Penguin is probably one of the most widely known. It's based out of the UK, and it publishes everything from the great classics to some of the more innovative new books, children's, you name it. Complete Idiot's Guides are from that group as well. And we also have Dorling Kindersley, which is a very popular, very visually rich line of products from that family. Within Pearson Education, we've got Prentice Hall, Addison Wesley, obviously we've got the Pearson Technology Group, which hits that market to a degree, Cisco Press. Within Pearson Technology Group, we've got Cisco Press, Adobe Press, Peach Pit Group, which is the leader in creative software products. We've got the Adobe, I think I mentioned Adobe Press earlier, Q, Sam's, Financial Times Press, Wharton School Publishing, Addison Wesley Professional, Prentice Hall Professional, and then the Pearson IT Certification imprint that I just mentioned, which includes the well-storied and well-known ExamCram line of products that have been out for some time. We're also IBM Press. So we've got a number of great partners in major organizations like Cisco and IBM and Adobe, and we've also got some of our own independently created publishing names, like Q, which is really one of the oldest IT publishers out there. So we've got a lot of different approaches to a lot of different learning, which we find has been great for the audience, because everybody's got their own unique learning needs and learning styles, and this is a great way to approach it by having a lot of different imprints that attack those topics.
You know, you've got this access to all this information, right? Because you're really the world's largest educational publisher in so many different areas. You know, sort of compiling all of that in your head in real time, can you make some predictions for the future and the implications and how we can best prepare?
Yeah, I think it all hinges on technology. I think that, and I don't just say that because I work on books that help develop technology, but as the global economic market continues to migrate in all the different ways that we see, we're all challenged with our personal time, how we're going to accomplish our work goals, but also grow ourselves as professionals. I face it every day. I'm sure you do as well, Stephen, and I'm sure many people listening do as well. How do you fit in that developmental growth and learning with all the other chores, both professional and personal, that you have? I think the technology is what's helping us do that. It's doing it in some of the obvious ways, learning that we can do at our computer that might be more effective and faster than older formats. But it's also doing it in other fashions in that some of the learning we would do in the past would be read a cover from A to Z to learn something. But in reality, there was also books that we read that fashion, but they really were just references where you'd want to be able to go hit that reference quickly for one solution, but not read it like a novel from cover to cover. The technology, especially things like apps and mobile device products, are helping us take that second kind of learning and have it not occupy as much of our time by being more effective and more immediate in its ability to deliver an answer. Safari is another example of that. So when you need an answer, you don't want to have to go read an entire section of a book to find your answer. You go to Safari, you type in your question. It gives you five or six possible solutions. You scan them quickly. You pick the right one. You read it. You're only reading perhaps a segment of a chapter, maybe a page, two. You get your answer, you accomplish your task, you're back to work. You've accomplished that faster, giving you more time in your overall day for all of the things that we have as challenges before us. So I think that's where things are going to continue to go forward. Technology and learning are going to continue to occupy, take less of our time when it can do so and still be effective. And when we do need standardized learning, it's going to be a faster, more effective vehicle to accomplish that learning goal.
You know, what do you see as the top challenges facing us today, and do you have any solutions?
You know, I think, and it's very much a repeat of what we just discussed. It's all about time. I think the biggest challenge is because of downsizing of corporations around the world, we have more jobs to do. We need to be able to do all of our different aspects of our daily routine faster without losing effectiveness. Learning is one of those key areas, and that's something that the technology being applied to learning is helping us accomplish. And, you know, for me, that's top challenge number one. That's top challenge number two. It's top challenge number three. That's not a cop-out out of answering the question, but it is everything. In my day, and most of the people I work with today, is that ability to shrink the amount of time we dedicate to any one given task without reducing our effectiveness of accomplishing that task.
You know, Doc, we've covered a lot of different topic areas, and so what did I miss? You know, what questions should I have asked, and then what would be your answers?
Well, I think, you know, like I said, you're always looking for what's that missing rule that nobody knows yet. And the biggest question, and you kind of asked it, you know, where is that next technology going to be? And it's not just about the technology that affects corporations, but what's that next technology that's going to be in the consumer's hand and is going to impact learning? You know, I have a guess at what that might be. I think we're going to find that the physical devices that we use are going to start merging back in the way they had been many years ago. I remember when Palm Pilots were all the rage, and people were frustrated by having a cell phone, then having a Palm Pilot, and possibly even having a paper organizer, when they, you know, really two of them were redundant of each other, but, you know, basically a paper backup. And then we started merging all those things together. We, you know, BlackBerries came out, iPhones came out. But now we're kind of getting back into that, you know, multiple vehicles. We've got entertainment vehicles that we hold in our hand. We have Kindles. We have smartphones. I think, you know, the question is, you know, where are we going to go? And you know, my question is, how are we going to get all those things back together in a logical and cohesive fashion? How are we going to merge back the Kindle ebook reader style revolution, the smartphone mobile phone style revolution, the personal entertainment vehicle anywhere from a Nintendo DS to the iPod Touches to iPhones to Shuffles? How are we going to merge all of those things back into cohesive singular vehicles that are more than just a phone, and who's going to do that? And how is it going to impact learning? I mean, those are the questions that are on my mind all the time, and I always think I have, as soon as I think I have a good stab on what direction it's going to go, something comes out that shows me that I haven't thought it through well enough and that I need to think about it more, because it's always a constant change, and there is no answer. There's only guesstimates in certain directions, and some of them are in a good direction and some of them are in the wrong direction.
Well, Doug, with your demanding schedule, we're indeed fortunate to have you come in today to do this interview, so I really thank you for sharing your insights with our audience.
Well, it's been a humbling honor to join you, and I thank you for the invitation.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Doug Ingersoll, the leading international executive of Pearson Certification and Cisco Press, and he shared his deep insights into certification, social media, publishing technology, and much more.